What a whirlwind being back in London after an absence of many years, probably a decade or more, and three kids ago. Boy, I would love to bring all five over here later this year, and my wife, the jolly seven Hockenberries at the Olympics. Doesn't that sound delicious? But seriously, I had much to think about this week here in London. First, I found myself envious of all the preparations for the Games. We could have been a contender in New York a while back, but it didn't work out. I personally benefited from some of the London improvements in ways I would never have expected. Lots of smoother sidewalks for wheelchairs like the one I use. When I roll into the streets, dozens of pedestrians don't presume it's a suicide. There's a higher profile for disabled folks out and about these days. And I've always thought that this is an indicator of the quality of life for communities around the world. If you're making things better for people with disabilities, chances are you're probably thinking a bit more about other ways of making living spaces better, cleaner, more sustainable. Now, all of this change isn't the result of the Olympic Games, but it sure got me thinking. The revelation of being able to use the London Underground for the first time. I mean, it's still pretty limited, but this was like a dream. Elevators, roll-on trains, go here, go there, no cars. Really empowering. Yep, it's always seemed as though getting the world right for people like me is sort of the thing you do last, when you get around to it. It's not a principle we start with, outside of places like Sweden and Japan, which have some deep moral commitment to keeping things physically perfect. I don't quite understand it. Kind of like that rare house guest who washes the dishes without being asked. A person who can't have things out of order in any way. Sweden, by the way, nice place to visit if you're in a wheelchair. Sweden and Japan are unusual, though. In general, the big industrial economies have never made it much of a priority to make their cities work for everyone. In fact, more money has probably been spent in New York and London on getting away from people. Private jets, yachts, private clubs, little mini bubbles to keep out the real world, which is too hard to deal with. Yes, the track record for the U.S. and Britain for making things work properly for all has always been a bit mixed. Oh, we do well in times of massive wealth here in the Victorian age or the Gilded Age in the U.S. The bridges get built, the subways get built, the parks and roadways get made. Emergencies are also a great inducement for these two economies as well. The Blitz was a wartime atrocity, of course, but it was cause for more urban upgrading in London than had taken place in a century. The September 11th attacks in New York caused Lower Manhattan's wretched infrastructure to be dealt with. Finally. The Olympics are something like that. A big reason to do things that wouldn't occur to us otherwise. Fix broken things we don't even see anymore. Build things that we normally think of as too hard. Make things work for people who might be invisible. Why is that? The Games are a big deal, of course, but why can't we make things work for everybody from the get-go? We ought to be able to make the building of spaces that work for everybody a first principle, not an afterthought. So congratulations, London, and thanks from me for all the great improvements here. But perhaps all of us in the industrialized, mature economies need to find another reason than the Olympic Games as a motivation to make those improvements a reality.